But they're off to a good start. Glad you're with us. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN 2, presented by Progressive Insurance. Our phone guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo here with you. So we've been through the nadir of sports where nothing was going on for the longest time, and then trickling things came back. NASCAR came back. Golf came back. UFC came back. And now we're ready for the avalanche. Baseball's back. We're getting set for NBA. NFL camps are starting. And we had a lot to deal with. And we'll get to all of it, including some stuff that happened in baseball late last night and yesterday dealing with the Marlins. Doug Glanville's going to join us a little bit later to talk all about that. Some good old-fashioned sort
of socially distanced posturing in
Houston last night.
Kind of fight.
Houston is still the enemy. That's what we found out.
That is true.
None of those bad. People don't forget.
Yeah, we need constants in our life. So that's one thing. So we'll get to that. We'll have more discussions about football and training camp and what can and cannot happen and how they're going to navigate it. One of the NFL's top doctors, Dr. Alan Sills, will join us in a little bit later to see what they're learning from the Marlins outbreak that they can apply to football potentially to keep the players safe going forward in a sport where you cannot socially distance in any way, shape, or form. But we do have the NBA getting set to resume coming up over the next couple of days. And obviously two teams that are very, very intent on walking out of Orlando with the chip would be the two teams that normally reside in Los Angeles, the Lakers and the Clippers. So let's get some status updates on those two teams, beginning with the Lakers and our own Dave McMenamin.
Golic and Wingo, NBA status update. Status update. Los Angeles Lakers.
Hey, this is Dave McMenamin. Remember when we commuted to the office for work and got to listen to a podcast along the way? Remember when we saw our kids off to school 5 days a week and we frequented bars and restaurants and planned trips and weddings without a second thought? And we still had two or three series left on Netflix that we hadn't seen yet? Well, back then, the Los Angeles Lakers were the best team in the NBA. They beat the Bucks and Clippers in consecutive games back in March. LeBron James latched onto a phrase that had helped hawk inexpensive Mexican food for decades, Taco Tuesday. And he made it seem like salsa spouted from the fountain of youth, looking as dominant as ever at age 35. Anthony Davis, after all the trade drama from last year, fit alongside him perfectly, too. Heading into the season restart down in Orlando 4 months later, the Lakers could still be the best. But there have been some changes. Avery Bradley said no to the bubble because of the coronavirus and the concerns it caused for his family. Rajon Rondo fractured his right thumb and could miss another 4 to 6 weeks. Markieff Morris missed the start of training camp with an excused absence. Dwight Howard thought of opting out, but didn't. J.R. Smith was added to replace Bradley. Deion Waiters got in shape during quarantine. And yes, LeBron grew a beard. What does it all mean? The Lakers are a good bet to be playing all the way until the finals in October, which will give you something to watch when you need something, since you already plowed through the West Wing and lost.
Dave, can I just say
that was
fabulously entertaining and informative at the same time.
That was pretty impressive. They're going to hang on to that one slot, 5.5 up on the Clippers, and play either Memphis, Portland, New Orleans, Sacramento, and that fight for the AC there. So we'll see where that ends up. But he's right about the changes. All of a sudden, you have reliance on J.R. Smith and possibly Deion Waiters as well, which is going to be really, really interesting. But listen, LeBron was making that move toward the MVP. He won't win it because it's already stopped. Doesn't count these games. Anthony Davis, I mean, have been as advertised. I mean, it's been impressive of what they've done. Looking for LeBron to win his fourth title, but with three different teams.
Anthony Davis and LeBron James, that union already. For LeBron, who's had some pretty high-profile teammates over the years, but this relationship's so different because LeBron has really been that point forward this year. LeBron has 172 assists to Anthony Davis during what has been an abbreviated season already. That is already the most assists LeBron has had to a teammate in any year in his career by over 30.
Yeah.
And it was an abridged season up until this point.
That shows you how well they're clicking.
How well they're clicking, the nature of how they fit together, and LeBron James, who is averaging double-digit assists this year, who leads the league in assists for the first time in his career, like all of these things, because you got a guy like that you can dish
off. I mean, think about how it worked. In Miami, there was obviously Bosch, but also Dwayne Wade, who handled the ball as well. Correct. And then in Cleveland, when they won it, there was Kyrie Irving, who handled the ball. Here, Anthony Davis didn't handle the ball. So it is in LeBron's hands to do with as he pleases or wishes, and we see what we just gave all the assist numbers, how well that's going.
Hopefully he can see those coming, Anthony Davis. He's out right now and might miss their first couple of seeding games after getting poked in the eye.
Yeah. I thought what Jeff Van Gundy said to us yesterday about this top seeds, and we'll get to the Clippers status update as well here. Basically, if you're locked in, you're going to treat these 8 remaining regular season games kind of like preseason games. Yep. You're not going to go full out the entire time. Let's work our way back into it so we're all healthy and ready to go once the postseason begins.
Speaking of things being different, LeBron James, no zero dark 30-23 mode this year.
Right.
Said he's going to keep the cell phone powered up during the playoffs. Got to keep in touch with his family. Got to keep in touch with his mom. So
it's a different scenario than normally he goes dark on with social media during the playoffs, doesn't do it at all, but you could see why he wouldn't do that now.
And also, respect for the chair that he brought to the bubble.
Yeah.
He brought the throne.
It reminded me of the SportsCenter commercial with Scott Van Pelt.
No, I didn't switch chairs with you. Good luck finding your chair, LeBron. So there's a lot going on with LeBron, and by the way, the beard is remarkable.
Yes, it is.
Touch of gray, man.
Little salt there. Big fan of that.
Well, we have to.
Yes, that's very true.
We have no other option.
We are 20 years, I'm older than him, so I guess I get it.
Correct. So that's going on with the Lakers, who have every intention of walking out of Orlando with a championship, as do the Clippers, who also played most of their season at the Staples Center. And for the latest on that, their status update, here's Om Yomasuk.
We're going to wait for that just in a second when it's going to hit.
There you go.
Because the Clippers, the other team in Los Angeles, the ones that actually went into the season as probably I think they were the betting favorites. That or they were tied. I know both the Lakers and the Clippers going into this year were up there. Obviously, the addition of Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, well documented.
And a lot of talk about LeBron possibly getting, you know, all the titles he has, but three of them with different teams. Kawhi Leonard can do the same thing.
The exact same thing.
With the title this year. Yeah.
Yeah, the legacy conversation and all of this is pretty fascinating just because, yes, while we understand he can accomplish the same thing, no one looks at Kawhi like that just because of the way he came into the league. He was allowed the rare opportunity in professional sports for someone of high profile who becomes a star, the opportunity to come and develop. Like, really, as far as developing into a true superstar.
Right.
Him and Steph Curry are the only ones that really come to mind at this upper level, right? Like,
absolutely.
At least in the last 20 years, let's say, in basketball, being allowed to do that's a rarity.
Right. Not coming in and the expectation being right on them to be that out of the gate.
So it is interesting, right? Because basically Kawhi won and San Antonio, then was shipped out because he wanted to leave.
Yes,
Toronto. And basically, I want to say single-handedly, but was in every way, shape, and form the driving force that led them to that championship a year ago. And now he has the potential to do it again. Why aren't we looking at it the same way?
Because he didn't come in with the Chosen One tattooed on his back. He didn't come in on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
I get all that, but that was what happened before. Now we're seeing it in real time. He's doing the exact same things that LeBron has done.
It's the same reason we talk about in the NFL why Dak Prescott's not paid right now, but if he had first round attached to his name, it would be different. And LeBron James has acknowledged history is something that matters to him. He mentioned that chasing ghost conversation not too long ago in all of this one. Like, Kawhi Leonard, we don't hear any of that from. You don't get to build folklore around Kawhi Leonard in the same way, and he's not the same figure in the league as far as who he is. LeBron speaks and the NBA earth moves beneath him. Yeah. Kawhi Leonard doesn't have that same juice, although he did orchestrate a hell of an offseason for himself, so I shouldn't tell him.
I was about to say, if it's all, and you know that I'm not a huge fan of this, but especially in the NBA, I think it matters more for counting rings. I mean, he's basically doing the exact same thing. We're going to get to the Clippers update a little bit later. The Lakers one was so good, the way Dave McMenamin put it all together.
Let it breathe a little bit.
Let that one breathe a little bit like fine wine and make sure that when we get to the Clippers, it is going to be just as well prepared. That's what we're doing.
That's our way of telling you we had technical difficulties.
Yeah, we do. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, no, listen, I appreciate you going above and beyond there. And so we will effort to get that as we get ready because, like, games start tomorrow.
Yeah, they do.
Like, that, it is amazing. Like you've said, we've weathered a lot of time without sports and a lot of time without the major sports, the four majors in North America. And they're all getting ready to come back. The NHL had exhibition games going on last night. People are feeling it.
Yeah. So we'll get to that a little bit later. But coming up next, one major league pitcher who was socially distancing from the strike zone, which led to some socially distancing posturing in Houston. We'll get to all of that after this.
What if I told you the virus actually broke up a fight last night?
Both the Dodgers and the Astros are mouthing off, and Kelly finally arrives at the dugout.
3-0 count on Bregman behind him. What happened there?
It was a ball, obviously. It wasn't my best pitch.
Correa barking. Kelly is barking. The benches are beginning to clear.
You know, when you throw a fastball over a guy's head, now you're certainly ending his career.
Goes without saying, there's not a whole lot of social distancing going on at the moment.
It's so true, by the way.
Hearing Charlie Steiner just sounds like sports to me.
Really, really does.
Like, he's one of those voices that immediately just takes me to, oh, man, now it's real again. It's like hearing Kevin Harlan, who was asking for Magic City Wings last night on air, or anyone else. There are just certain Al Michaels, when we've talked to him, just sound like sports to me. Yes.
Okay. Glad you're with us, Golic and Wingo. We got a lot to get to in baseball on the field. And off the field, and who better to talk to than our fellow compatriot and a guy who has done a great job putting everything in perspective so many times for us, and that would, of course, be Doug Glanville. Doug, I love Joe Kelly's explanation for that pitch behind Alex Bregman. Yeah, it was a ball. You think?
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's, look, Kelly, he's wild, and that can play to his advantage in his deniability. There's no doubt that that's been his game over the years. He struggled with command. That one's not going to sell very well, but given the circumstances, there's no question the Dodgers, a lot of bad blood between the Dodgers and the Astros, particularly the Dodgers feeling that they didn't get justice, they didn't get vindication for 2017, and it probably cost them a World Series.
Joe Kelly once tried to throw a baseball into a net in his backyard, instead broke a window, and player's resume is brought to you by Indeed. Find the high impact, hire your business needs at Indeed.com/high impact. So going forward with this, he threw at Bregman. We know that. We knew where this was going, and we wondered what was going to happen with the Astros this year. So where will it go next? Because Kelly never got, you know, warned here at all. It was actually the Astros who ended up getting warned in this thing. So how much does this continue going forward, and where does baseball need to step in?
Well, baseball's got to step in right now, and they have to, because, as you mentioned, this is pandemic baseball. I mean, you can't have a brawl. We see the circumstances that the Miami Marlins are facing and how quickly this can be contagious. So you're not trying to invite the elements of how this spreads to increase those elements by contact and being in a scenario where now you're fighting for 5 minutes and yelling at each other. It's too risky. So the perspective will no doubt come immediately from Major League Baseball. And that's still not going to satisfy the Los Angeles Dodgers. So, you know, players have been known to say, all right, well, I understand that. But you have to remember the other element of how we're playing. There's no fans. And I think as a player, you expect and know that, you know, if I'm looking at the Dodgers' perspective, you're saying, well, they didn't really get any heat for this, okay? They kind of are getting a hall pass because we're in a pandemic. And they would have been on a tour where they would have been booed out of every stadium other than Houston. And to a large degree, players feel that that had been justified. And so you don't have that sort of element of playing through that kind of stress and playing through and say, okay, well, you know, if you have a great season despite that, people would have let them know how they felt about 2017 and what happened, you know, thereafter. So the Dodgers are all the more upset because it feels like nothing's happening and we're just playing baseball, not acknowledging that, you know, we just had a whole sign-stealing scandal.
Message firmly delivered and received last night as the Houston Revenge Tour at least gets kickstarted against the Dodgers there. But you mentioned we're playing pandemic baseball, and we've heard now from Major League Baseball that the Marlins are going to sit until at least next Tuesday. They're going to be tested. They're going to be in a holding pattern. The Phillies that they played against are going to be in a holding pattern until at least Friday when their series with the Blue Jays would begin there. So I'm curious, as you've seen the schedule reworked and everything around this, Doug, what you've made of Major League Baseball's response to the rash of positive tests for the Marlins?
Well, that's what they have to do. The issue is, and you know, although I'm an engineer from the college days, I know the incubation period comes from part of this, right? 3 days to 2 weeks. And so when you're testing positive, it's for that moment, it's that day. And so this could also still, you could be negative and it could still be sort of forming over the next two-week period. So they test every day, but they're still not sure when something could come on. And so you see the dominoes that hit the Marlins, right? Day one, all of a sudden this goes from three to basically like 17 people. So that's what they're concerned about. So they're going out as far as they can, and they're still not committing to that. Say, okay, we're going to push back, and they're hoping they'll get a bunch of negatives and then be able to move forward. But right now they're very concerned, and as should be. And then, of course, the same story holds true for the Phillies, because they could have been exposed, and it didn't hit right when they tested, but it could be lurking there for the next, 10 days. So they're going to have to always adapt. And, yeah, schedule-wise, it's going to be a disaster because they have to continue to move pieces around. But you're going to be faced with this reality that at the end of the season, someone is going to play more games than another team. One team's going to have a different, and you're going to have to go off winning percentage, because eventually you're just going to run out of dates. And that's going to be a challenge for the competitive balance that they're looking for.
Literally everything about this season is just going to be weird and unusual. I'm going to have to accept it, as Doug Glanville, former big leaguer and current baseball analyst with us, joins us. But Doug, look, the Marlins thing is a mess, and you're certainly hoping that that incubation period you talked about does not pop up a ton more tests. And that is the negative, and that is a huge story. But there is the other side of this, that they've done all these other tests, and to this point, nobody else has had this kind of outbreak. That's a message that baseball, I think, needs to make sure they're putting out there as well.
Absolutely. And we are all looking to sports, Major League Baseball, for answers, and what we've been facing for quite some time, this entire year, basically. And that is this health crisis. And here is an environment, baseball in particular, that has unlimited resources to a large degree. Large resources. They have super athletes that are generally in this low-risk profile. And to some degree, this is an experiment, and we're watching and learning from it. So they need to continue to be transparent and communicate, because it's not just for baseball, it's for larger society to pay attention to how this actually works. And they have done what they could. They didn't have a bubble, and that was a choice they made that was thought out. And so they're trying to work with what they have. And right now, it seems like they've contained it in around the Marlins area. As long as they approach that with humility, recognizing how contagious this is, as we definitely have found out, they'll continue to make efforts to make this season happen as safely as possible. We recognize that this is not something that's totally in baseball's control, and so they are hopeful they can continue to play. That's why they're moving forward. They did their contact tracing, and it didn't work out for the Marlins, but so far so good from the standpoint of where it is.
Doug, over the years, asking former ballplayers like yourself, usually the answer is, hey, when during a season do you start to know who you really are? And for a lot of times I would hear June is when you kind of start figuring out who you are. Well, we know this is a different season, 60-game schedule. Yep. When can we start to figure out who these teams are in this shortened season?
You're going to find out very quickly, because once again, you have this external force that is beyond anything these players have ever encountered. I mean, most of us haven't encountered. And so the ability to be a team has started when they entered spring training or summer camp in this case. And because you're facing so much, your family's exposure, the concerns, and how well you're able to sort of come together around that in this commitment through something that's really scary. All the players are watching. You don't have to be a Marlin to have this high level of concern, because this is everywhere. This isn't just in Miami or this particular team, and you see how aggressive it can be. So they're all responding to that and trying to coalesce as a team now, and they have to, because even the numbers, you could lose 10 days for maybe the Marlins end up, you lose all these games, and all of a sudden if you're on a 52 game schedule and you go 10-17, you might be out of it. I mean, yeah, you have this expanded playoffs, but it could change very quickly. So you're going to see these teams and find out who they are, within the first 30 days of this season. And because so much else can go wrong off the field, as we've seen with the Marlins, that you're going to have to play your best baseball right out of the gate.
Yeah. By the way, kudos to the traveling secretaries for all the baseball teams who are having to rearrange all these schedules. It is going to be something else that probably a lot of people aren't thinking about, but the logistics of that alone, based on everything, absolutely remarkable. Doug, as always, we appreciate the time, my friend. Thanks so much.
Okay, guys. Thanks for having me.
It does seem like the Dodgers got away with a decent amount last night, doesn't it? I think people were still wondering, was there going to be retaliation against Houston? Again, if you haven't seen it, was Kelly on a 3-0 pitch threw it a high fastball behind Alex Bregman, walked him, and then a couple of more brushback pitches and eventually struck out Carlos Correa. And they had words as the inning ended, and you'll see that face that Kelly made all over social media, like a pouty face.
Pouty McPouterson.
The bench is cleared. Nothing happened. Everybody kind of, you know, as Mike, you said, COVID broke up that fight. But it was the Astros that actually got warned, which was stunning to a lot of people. And I agree with Doug. Going forward, there's going to have to be quicker type of kind of warnings going out to these teams.
Boo-hoo Kelly will reign supreme on the interwebs.
Yes, it will.
It's just watching the pitches again. I mean, it's pretty impressive. All right, so we'll see what happens. And again, at this point, you know, crossing your fingers so far that none of the Phillies who are playing the Marlins on that game have come up positive. Right. But again, the incubation period could be for maybe 10 more days. Coming up, the Jets have broken their silence and responded to the Jamal Adams trade and some of the things Jamal Adams said that we all believe led to his being traded, despite Joe Douglas, the GM, saying that had nothing to do with it. We'll get to all of that. Golgan Wingo with you on a Wednesday morning.
I don't believe it.
Jamal Adams was hooked on a feeling that he got out of the Jets that and is going to a winning team.
Love with me.
Keep going.
That's one of my favorites.
Oh, it's one of the best.
Lips as sweet as candy. This taste is on my mind. Girl, you got me thirsty for another cup of wine. All right.
Well done.
Thank you.
So we're all feeling it.
I was on drugs.
I appreciate that very much.
You were on iPad percussion there. That's what you were doing.
Hey, enjoy the podcast.
There you go.
Podcast audience going to love that. Yeah, it's great.
So Jamal Adams is out, and he's excited to get back and going through everything he needs to do to be a member of Seahawks. But the Jets are dealing with the scorched earth policy, for lack of a better term, that Jamal Adams left behind him. And again, kudos to Jamal. He got what he wanted, and he did what he felt was necessary to get it. So he got that thing going, and they're going to wait on an extension for him
another year.
In Seattle, at least another year. So he's on a different team. But he, you know, in that interview with Manish Mehta of the New York Daily News, he pretty laid it bare his feelings on the current situation with the Jets, and specifically the front office and head coach Adam Gase. One of the things that he said, he didn't believe that Adam Gase was the guy to be the leader of that team. So, of course, when training camp opens up, hey, you know that fire that Jamal Adams started and he's out there? All of us now have to put it out. So Sam Darnold, the quarterback, was asked about Adam Gase, his head coach, as a leader of the team.
He's the right leader for this team, for sure. I think for me personally, he's helped me grow a ton as a quarterback and learning this offense. And, you know, I just think throughout the weeks, you know, leading up to games, he does everything that he possibly can to put us in the best position to win on Sundays. And, you know, that's from my experience with Coach Gase, and you know, I've had nothing but positive experiences with him so far.
Point of parliamentary procedure. That's the only thing Sam Darnold could say.
It really
Let's
is.
Just be clear about that.
And in all honesty, there can be two sections in that locker room.
Yeah.
I certainly have been a part of that, depending on who the head coach is. You know, my second year in Miami, the last couple of years there, was Jerry Glanville became the head coach. Jerry Glanville is a defensive guy. So you seem, you know, there seems to be that connection more with the defensive players, and they're more involved in the defensive side. In Philadelphia, it was Buddy Ryan to start out, and then ended up being Rich Kotite. And there's definitely a difference of, now I still say you deal with your assistant coach, that who you deal with for your position more, but it can be interesting. And Sam Darnold deals with Adam Gase all the time, and Jamal Adams or the defense does not. You know, that's Greg Williams. A lot of times that's what you're seeing today is the head coach is an offensive guy and they hire someone, take care of that defense, and that's kind of where it is. So it can be split at times, but to your point, Trey, Sam Darnold said what Sam Darnold needed to say.
Well, he did, but I think what you pointed out there is especially relevant because we heard those rumblings and reports that there were players in the Jets locker room that felt like they had two head coaches, that Greg Williams was a monster presence for the defensive players on that team, and there was maybe not a divide, but at the very least some different loyalties in that regard.
And that happens a lot, let me be clear. That happens a lot.
Well, it happens more today because head coaches are being hired more today for the quarterback.
Correct.
So they're offensive guys. So what happens is instead of being CEOs of the team, the first thing in mind is boy, he gets along with our quarterback really well and things are looking good. Let's make him the head coach.
Correct.
And then we hire somebody on the defensive side. You look after the defense. So you get what seems to be that type of split where there's two head coaches or two authority, different authorities you're looking at.
Now, I've also heard a lot of people making the point that you haven't seen a lot of players coming out in defense of Jamal Adams in here. There was the notable spat on Twitter between Le'Veon Bell and Jamal Adams when all of this was going on in a lot of that. And this is one that I can't speak to. And been inside enough locker rooms to know that what you see in the public may not always be what you get in private. So I usually defer to whoever has been in the locker room with these guys in a lot of this stuff. I will say anecdotally, anyone I've talked to who's dealt with Jamal Adams, who's been around him, you know, whether it's leading up to the draft, whether it's certainly his reputation at LSU, is pretty stellar. Most people tend to love this guy, and especially when it comes to the football side, because we've seen it is winning or bust with him in a lot of this stuff. And I think a lot of that pride is what led to the standoff in the situation.
And to go on to some of the things Jamal Adams said, you know, some is the opinion of Jamal doesn't think he can lead this team to the promised land. And others are things that you can, you know, put a situation to and give an answer to. And one of the things Jamal Adams said was, boy, when we're losing in a game at halftime, our head coach is nowhere to be found. He doesn't talk to the team. Well, Adam Gase, he addressed that.
You know, as far as, you know, the alleged addressing at halftime, I mean, we had two times in the second half of the season that we were down. One was the Cincinnati game, I addressed the team at halftime, and one was the Baltimore game, I addressed the team at halftime. So, you know, one game he was in the training room at Cincinnati, the other one he wasn't playing. So, I mean, it's hard for me to answer a question like that when I know the correct answer.
So one was an opinion thing on what type of leader he is, the other, and he basically says, listen, here's what he said, and here's the facts of what went on and answering that. And being in locker rooms for a long time, I know the one thing you don't want to do, you could have that difference of opinion in the locker room, but I know we always talked about it. I know it's a little different nowadays, especially with social media, but we always talked in the locker room, even if we disagreed on what we thought, keep it amongst ourselves. Keep it in the locker room. Don't give the outside world a chance to see if there are any cracks on the inside, because they'll just try and widen those cracks. Now, again, this was a while ago, and locker rooms are a little different nowadays, and you do hear guys talking and speaking up a little more, especially in the social media. But I don't know. You're right. Other players haven't spoken up, but that doesn't surprise me. I don't know why you would. I don't know at this point why you would speak up against your head coach and his leadership ability when you're going to be on that team and in that locker room. To me, it wouldn't make sense.
No, go ahead. Well, I'm sure we'll have plenty of time to hear more of that as training camp really starts to ramp up in a lot of this. But I also look at the situation, and we heard this talking to Jeff Darlington earlier and plenty of others, that this seems to be, I was going to go to whatever, you know, through whatever means here to get to the end of getting out there. That situation becomes so untenable, Jamal Adams, from a career standpoint, that he didn't really care who he hurt on the way out of this situation. And so maybe that's not fully emblematic of the person. Maybe for some people, that's all they're going to remember in this situation. But it's complicated by the fact that Jamal Adams was really the one good thing about a team that had struggled so much. And for Adam Gase, he can be right and he can know the truth in all this. But because the team hasn't had success, and because he's not a coach that's an extrovert, because he's not a coach that a lot of people feel like they know, the outside world is going to have a tough time reckoning with this one.
And that's the part for Adam which is going to be difficult, because he can't change now. He can't, like, if he tries to be the bubbly, people are like, what are you doing? That's not who you are in any way, shape, or form. Go back to some of his press conferences when he was the Dolphins head coach. He was exasperated after one or two questions. It's like, guys, what are we doing here? You know, he had the baseball cap pulled down. And that's not going to play in New York in any way, shape, or form. So the hard part for Adam Gase is the only thing that's going to keep this going for him is if they start winning. And he again, can't change who he is.
And again, was it the best look by Jamal to go down this road?
No, absolutely not.
No, it absolutely wasn't. Because imagine if the Jets said, well, we don't care. We're not trading you, or we couldn't get that value for you, so you're going to be on the team. That would have been a very tough thing in the locker room. But from the play, you look at both sides. From the player side, what do we always talk about? Leverage as far as holding out and or what ways you can go about trying to get what you want. There's not many for the players. There's more for the team as far as holding on. And he had to go, or he felt he had to go, scorched earth and he really thought that was the way it was going to get him out. It worked for him, but it's certainly not the best look in the world by any stretch.
No, I think even an honest moment, like everyone would recognize, that's bad.
Yeah.
You say it's bad business from the personal side, but as most will tell you, like at the end of the day, and you see this all the time, you recognize pretty quickly that when it push comes to shove the other way, it's not love there. Like it is right. business, and teams will regularly do things to guys that are unsavory, and we see departures like this all the time where guys are in the facility reading about their trade on the bottom line and seeing all this stuff that certainly cuts deep from the other side. And so there's part of me that will always look at this and say, well, in a league that's going to take you out with the trash, the minute you stop being useful to them, you can understand why if a player for a minute grasps some of that power, they're going to take it and run with it. Even though, personally, it's not a way I'd be able to stomach probably going about this.
Right.
It's one where I can't put myself in the shoes because I haven't experienced what Jamal has day to day there, what the experience has been like for him at a time where he sees the reality all the time, as do all the other NFL players, that the teams don't love you like
but
that.
You and I were never in a position of leverage.
No.
We're never in a position of power, so it is hard for us to do that. We can only say it's not the greatest look, but it's a weapon that he has to try and get what he wants. Because for all those people out there, all these guys are under contracts, you sign the contract, play for your contract. I mean, that is so outdated.
Correct.
Because a team can just cut you, and if what is ever not guaranteed, you're not getting anymore. So it works both ways. So I don't want to hear that argument. Players have very few shots to swing their hammer. And while this may not have, you may have held your nose while this happened, at the end of the day, Jamal got what he wanted to get.
And at the end of the day, Adam Gase's ability to be a good leader for the Jets will come down to one thing. Did he win enough?
That's exactly
That's
right.
That's it. That's yep. all that it's going to be. Because if he wins by being weird and wearing the hat and not saying anything, they'll say, oh, he's mercurial and he's just intense. And if they lose a lot, well, he never really opened up to the team. That's the only thing that's going to decide this one way or the other.
And that's the only thing we'll have to judge off of, because we don't get to see the leadership that matters on the outside.
Correct. Coming up next, one quarterback who might be on the hot seat was a top 100 player. Top 50, if I'm not mistaken. Is he really? We'll get to that in either, neither, or both after this.
Oh, gang, you're going to love this.
Is yours.
You can get with this, or you can get with that.
Either,
ooh,
neither.
There's levels to this, bro.
Or both.
Say it again!
You can get with this, or you can get with that.
This is either, neither, or both with Golic and Wingo.
What it is.
One last time.
One last time.
What it do, Hal? Golic and Wingo's brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Cover all your bases with Straight Talk Wireless. Get the same networks as big carriers, only pay up to 50% less. Get the unlimited plan, 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G for just $45 a month. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
All right. It is that time where we put something out there and we decide whether this thing is either, neither, or both.
Last time for Golic and Wingo.
You ready?
Last time around here on Golic and Wingo, I am going to save you guys the explanation because at this point, you're vets. You know it.
You would think.
And it doesn't matter anyway.
And if you don't right now, we'll screw it up and then we'll be done with it. So it'll be all good here. Either, neither, or both. Going to give you a couple options here. You tell me your thoughts on this one. The NFL top 100 list has us all hot and bothered.
No.
Either, neither, or both are a top 100 player in the NFL. Carson Wentz, Josh Allen.
Either. And it's the wrong one that's not on the list. It's Carson Wentz and it's not Josh. Josh Allen was, 87th on this list? And Carson Wentz does not appear on this list. And Dan Orlovsky is still somewhere trying to put his cerebral cortex back together.
I'm not a list guy. I don't like the list. But in this, I would say either and Carson Wentz as well. There are a number of stats you could look at to go down this road as well, but I would put Carson in the top 100.
Yeah, I think Josh Allen was one of two starting quarterbacks in the league last year to average under 200 yards passing a game. Like, he has improved. I don't want to diminish the strides that Josh Allen is making and the development Buffalo wants to see, but he's not a top 100 player right now, and he's certainly not one of the expensive Carson Wentz.
Correct.
Either. Carson Wentz. Either, neither, or both, Dad, will surpass Joey Bosa's new $100 million contract. Nick Bosa, Chase Young.
Both. Both. Nick Bosa for sure. And boy, with it, what they have going on in Washington, the possibility with that defensive line as well, and seeing what Chase did in college. Again, that doesn't mean it translates to the pros, but I like what I see out of him, especially from that edge rusher spot. So I will go both.
And again, we're making the correlation because all three of them went to Ohio State,
yes,
had the same tutelage, and obviously the Bosa brothers are related. I'm going to go both as well because I think that they do such a great job in Columbus of getting these guys, finding them, and then getting them ready for the NFL. I think eventually that position will dictate big dollars.
Yeah, I think you made the you said tutelage there. His name is Larry Johnson.
Larry Johnson,
he has
yes.
done an unbelievable job creating very finished products. And that was one of the criticisms of Joey Bosa and Nick, by the way, is they were too polished. You thought they had hit their ceiling? Not so much. The ceiling in this case, very much a very wealthy roof. Golic and Wingo here on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. Mike Golic Jr., Trey Wingo with Either, Neither, or Both. Either, Neither, or Both will be an All-Pro in 2020, Trey. Jamal Adams, Jadeveon Clowney.
I'm going to say either, and it would be Jamal Adams. I mean, we're still waiting on Jadeveon Clowney, where he's going to be, what the fit's going to be. And Jadeveon, for lack of a better term, has been very inconsistent.
He has.
The bursts have been there, but it hasn't been consistently there. I'm going with that.
And we know he's going to be a situational player, Clowney, for the most part. He does wreak havoc behind the line of scrimmage. I do understand that. But Jamal Adams, it's going to be either in Jamal Adams.
Yeah, I think a lot of competition to it. Pass rusher with some of the guys that we've seen right there in that area. Jamal Adams at safety's already got a pretty good in there, and he's going to a spot that's very favorable for defensive back play. So I'm going to go either and Jamal Adams there as well. Either, Neither, or Both, Dad. Going to average 30 points per game in eight seeding games before the playoffs. James Harden, LeBron James.
What's the over-under of games played? Because I don't think LeBron's going to play all eight. I don't think he's going to play near all eight.
And what's the minute count?
Part of this is predicated on the fact that even if Harden scores 0 points in all eight seeding games, he would still average 30 points for a third straight season.
But we're talking about averaging 30 points a game in these eight games, correct?
Yes.
In the restart. I would say either in James Harden. They're playing for seeding. Again, it's not home court, but seeding. L.A. is going to have the number one seed. I don't think LeBron's going to play as much as some may think. I think a lot of people don't think he's going to play that much. So I'll say either in James Harden.
I'm going to say neither because I don't think either one of these coaches wants to expend that much energy during these eight regular season games. Because, again, Jeff Van Gundy said it best with us yesterday. Since there's no true home court advantage, just get in and figure it out from there. You're not fighting for the thing you would normally be fighting for, and I think they're going to limit the minutes for their superstars.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go either in James Harden on this one as well, just because LeBron James knows how to throttle it down when necessary. He's well-versed in that. James Harden knows no other way other than get buckets, go out there and play ISO ball, and so I think we're on a collision course for that right now. Either, Neither, or Both. The NBA will play the 2020-21 season in a bubble, their home arenas.
Wow.
Listen, I'm going to be optimistic. I want to be optimistic. I believe that eventually, we'll corral this thing with either by doing the right things or getting the vaccine. So I'm going to say normal, and I'm going to
either
say normal.
Arenas.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to start in December, right?
Yes. We think.
If it starts on time, I'm going to say either in a bubble.
I would agree. And the NBA Players Association has come out and kind of intimated that this is something that they've got eyes on with that. So I would probably err on the side of the bubble as well. Why fix what ain't broken? All right, last one. Either, Neither, or Both, Dad, worth leaving the bubble for. Magic City Wings, Gourmet Donuts.
See, I've never had Magic City Wings. I am going to try them someday. Just know that. And I think it's National Wing Day today. Somebody said that. I want to make sure we got to find that. That's factual. But I'm a donuts guy. So... Oh, wait, either. Oh, both. What
both.
Am I saying?
Yeah, I was going to say.
Either, Neither, or Both.
Why not both?
How dumb am I? Both.
Yeah. Neither.
What?
I'm just not a huge food guy.
Get out.
Oh,
in 2 days.
Johnny Manziel, Amin El-Hassan, Kendrick Perkins have all co-signed for these wings. Kevin Harlan openly opined for them last night on the broadcast. I'm going both on this one. It seems like, especially given the pictures I've seen coming out of
Matt. They look great.
I'm going both and then steer clear of me.
I was about to say.
For different reasons.
Yeah, don't stand downwind. Coming up, one Major League pitcher was just a bit outside. We'll get to that next. Golic and Wingo, ESPN Radio, ESPN stuff.